Welcome, everyone. Welcome to In the Garden with Kelly and Char. I'm Kelly Casey, and across from me on this beautiful fall day is Char Char. How does your garden grow?
The lilacs are blooming again.
Isn't it amazing?
All those poor things.
I know. I also saw a magnolia tree with two blooms on
mine
it.
Mine too.
I don't understand.
I don't either.
I think the seasons are confused.
I think they
are. Well, one thing we are not confused about is this wonderful fall weather. Mm. We've had some really high temperatures. We've had some low temperatures. Haven't had frost yet, thank goodness. But what I'd like to say is whatever season, we are glad that you join us for In the Garden every Wednesday. And today we're going to talk about a special feature that I think almost everyone is familiar with, but you might want to have a little bit more information. And those are apples. We've all heard the adage, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Well, I think there's some truth to that. Apples are proved to be nutritious and provide many of our daily requirements. If you don't grow your own apples, at least buy some fresh, maybe some locally grown apples from time to time. Nothing tastes better. And they're locally grown, so they don't have to be treated with special chemicals that are applied before shipping. Chemicals that keep their skins red or keep them from spoiling on market shelves. So let's talk today about growing your own apples. Things to know and to prepare your apple garden for. First, let's get to the fun part, the varieties of apples. For the sake of those who love history, as we know Char will, let's give a nod to the winesap apple, which bears its fruit in late summer and fall, dates back to 1804, and even earlier, definitely from colonial times.
Around that time, there also was a gentleman named Jonathan Chapman, born in 1774 in Massachusetts, who later became known as Johnny Appleseed. The legend is that he went around the country spreading apple seeds wherever he went. Truth is, he started nurseries with apple tree seedlings in them, fenced them in to protect the seedlings from livestock and wildlife, and then left the young apple trees in the care of others. But he'd return in a year or two to check on the trees. He was an odd character, we're told, traveling all over, only barefoot, wearing hand-me-down clothes he had traded for apple trees. A wolf he had healed from an injury followed him around like a pet. Supposedly the only surviving tree he planted is now in Nova, Ohio, and is a Rambo variety, which is not a familiar name. Because we're broadcasting in Minnesota, let's mention some apples that were developed in our state at the University of Minnesota. And the very first one I'll mention is Kudos. But it's brand new, and apple trees of Kudos were supposed to be available this year. I'm wondering if anybody out there has bought one. Let us know, okay? Its parents are Honeycrisp and Zestar, and it's a sibling of Sweet Tango. Its skin is all red in color and is crisp, juicy, with a well-balanced flavor and has tropical overtones, I'm told. So watch for that out there in the market. Now, early season apples. There's Beacon, which is an oldie but goodie, bred back in 1936. Also, State Fair, Rave, First Kiss, which is a relative newbie, bred in 2017, Zestar, Sweet Tango, which is like the new Kudos, which has also parents of Honeycrisp and Zestar. Mid-season apples are Red Baron, Sweet 16, you'll probably have heard that, and a good old customer favorite, well, not old, Honeycrisp. So that's a mid-season apple. Late season apples. Now there's a yellow apple called Honey Gold. Now everybody will remember this one, Harrelson, which dates all the way back to 1922. Other late seasons are Frostbite, that's a good name, Regent, Snow Sweet, Keepsake, Fireside, Prairie Spy, I remember that one. And those last two, by the way, were bred in the 1940s.
I have to interject here. I was happy to help a little bit with the Civil War weekend that took place at the Leduc Historic Estate in Hastings the weekend after Labor Day. And they have some heritage apples that are on their property, Liberty and Freedom. Ooh. And they were actually two of the apples that General Leduc was, he was famous for his agriculture and his right. experimentation and things. So right. those trees that are on the property are there for display, but they are very, very old. And the variety is anyway. And they have red, red skin. And I understand, you know, they don't use any chemicals there, but I understand that they are a wonderful baking apple. And they had little tastes for people to enjoy there mm-hmm. during the weekend. So a lot of old apple trees to mention as well. Mm-hmm. I think those are probably the oldest.
What was it? Liberty?
Liberty and Freedom.
I do have to give a shout out here to any of our listeners who have a Whitney crab apple tree. Now, these trees can be messy in that they drop a lot of their ripe apples. But on our farm, the Shar Farm, for many years, Whitney crabs made the very best apple cider. The unfermented version, of course. Now, I want to tell you something about columnar apples. Now, you'll probably wonder, what is she talking about, columnar apples? I tried a new apple variety called White Icicle. It's a columnar apple. I ordered it from the Jug seed catalog out of Randolph, Wisconsin. This year, it bore 7 apples, and it's only in its second year. It's perfect for planting in, say, confined areas. The apples form on clusters along the trunk on short spurs. The growth of the tree is vertical with almost no branching, and that's true. They are supposed to be disease resistant, and their fruit is very large in size. These columnar varieties were first discovered in Canada. The White Icicle's fruit is light green to yellow when it's riper. It's more yellow. And the flesh is very bright white, and it's very sweet, juicy, and delicious. I can vouch for that. And they generally ripen in early September.
Now, is that different than a dwarf tree?
Yes.
It's just in the way that they grow.
Yes.
So columnar meaning they grow on a column.
And they'll never get as tall as a dwarf. It'll
Wonderful.
Be even shorter than a dwarf.
So you can also pick them. Interesting. I don't have any experience with those at all. Mm-hmm. All right. So determine what apple you're interested in growing and what's the real purpose for growing them. By that we mean, do you want them for eating raw, pick them fresh off of the tree? Or for preserving, canning, making applesauce and pies, and those kind of things. So once again, we have a few growing tips and facts if you, in fact, want to plant an apple tree. Apple trees must have 6 to 8 hours of sun each day. And for proper pollination, 2 kinds of apples are needed. For example, one can be a crab apple. You need to space your pollinating trees within 30 to 35 feet of each other. Dwarf apple trees, as we were talking about earlier, can take up to 3 years before providing any fruit. Standard side trees can take as long as 8 years before bearing fruit. I think that's probably what prevents people from doing it, because
yeah.
they know it's going to be a while before they're going to be able to have the rewards of their fruit. Here's where reading the tree's plant tags is incredibly helpful. It'll tell you what to expect. With all gardening situations, patience is a virtue. Well, if you're having to wait 8 years for your first apple, I would say you have to have some patience. And just for fun, did you know that an apple tree can bear fruit for up to 50 years? Wow. If you found what you think is a good planting location for a couple of apple trees, first check the soil for its pH. It should be between 6 and 7. And also, when it rains, does water tend to stand in that area? If so, move on. The tree's location should drain properly with no standing water in a heavy rain. Spacing for 2 trees, dwarf trees should be spaced 10 feet apart, and standard trees should be spaced 30 to 35 feet apart due to their larger canopy spread. Digging and planting, the hole should be no deeper than the tree's root ball, but, and this is the most important part, the hole should be twice as wide as the root ball. And then you spread the roots out properly. So whatever you do, don't take that apple tree that's in a pot and just stick it in the ground. You need to spread the roots out properly so that no root is doubled over. Now, typically bare root apple seedlings are best planted in springtime rather than in fall. Bare root trees should be soaked in a pail of room temperature water at least overnight before planting. And if you plant a bare root tree in spring, you should put some soil in a ball shape right underneath the tree's roots. And then you should also trim those roots slightly so that they're all about the same length. Don't trim too short, though.
For fall apple tree planting, we recommend planting an apple tree with a full root ball in some type of moss or in a container of dirt. When you fill back with dirt after positioning the tree, you can mix up to 1/3 compost or peat moss into that original dirt. While you're backfilling the hole with dirt, make sure the graft union is 4 inches above the soil level.
That's really important.
Yes. The graft union is where the variety is joined with the grower's rootstock. At this same point, make sure the tree is tending to stand straight. Have someone hold it while you're doing the backfill. Tamp the dirt down well or heel it in, doing this gradually every few inches. Then water gently. It's helpful to make a moat around the hole with a ridge of soil to help keep the water from running away. If the soil settles after a day or so and after several waterings, then add some more soil to the planting depression area.
But make sure you don't cover up that graft union.
Graft union.
I have seen people, though, that have taken trees of all kinds, but especially fruit trees, and they just keep mounding it up around the trunk, and then it doesn't do well. It just doesn't do well. You can't cover that graft union.
Right.
If you have a problem knowing what that graft union is, when you purchase your tree, have their nursery people identify it for you.
Yep.
Yes.
And explain it, right. Spraying for worms, insects, and diseases. Sadly, apple trees are besieged by insects. They must like apples too, Kelly. Two big pests are the apple maggot and the codling moth. You can spray for these if you find the right concoction for either of those pesky pests. Also, two common diseases are apple scab and fire blight, which can be treated with a fungicide spray. It also helps to remove the fallen apples beneath your trees, which can possibly help with major worm issues in the future. Staking. Often apple trees tend to grow in a crooked manner, and even in professional apple orchards, you will see staking of the trees. The trees must be tied to the stake correctly to avoid damage during future growth. Secure the tree to the stake using a band or a webbing, which can be found at garden centers. The stake should have a rubber pad where the band wraps around and could possibly touch the tree. It should be placed 3 to 4 inches below the lowest branch. Remove, then adjust as the tree grows to prevent the tree from strangling.
Now, pruning is very important to the success of any apple tree, no matter its size. If you're uncomfortable pruning a standard size tree, before you make any apple tree purchase, consider planting dwarf apple trees that are much more manageable. But even with those, some pruning is beneficial. Apple trees will often have sucker branches that tend to grow vertical and which rarely bear any fruit. Remove them if you can. Also, pruning helps remove damaged or misshapen or even too crowded branches. Doing so will allow more sunlight to access the leaves, branches, and blossoms. Such pruning will also provide ventilation and will even help reduce disease. The very best time to prune apple trees is very early spring, before the tree has a chance to set its blossom buds. Now, when you prune, always use a clipper or lopper with clean, sharp blades. Make a clean cut with no jagged edges. Jagged edges cause the bark to tear down and away from the cut, which could also allow for disease and bugs to enter the tree. If you need to make a cut that is not flush with the surface of the trunk or branch, angle the cut so water does not sit for very long on the raw cut surface. It is not necessary to apply any tree dressing to the wound or cut on the tree. Mother Nature will take care of that.
Do you want to know if your apples are approaching ripeness and you're not sure based on the outside color? Break it open or cut it in half. If the seeds are brown, the apple is ready to eat. Of course, its taste will tell the tale, too. Apple storage. If you don't have a large number of apples to store, and maybe you don't have a lot of refrigerator room, you could loosely wrap apples in newspaper, making sure they do not touch each other. Most apples will keep that way in a moderately cool location for up to 5 months. It depends a little on the natural hardness or softness of the apples, too.
And make sure if you're putting up apples, as my grandma used to say, make sure there's no blemishes, bruises, or cuts on them that will tend to spoil the apple. Now, before we finish our annual apple roundup, we'd like to give a shout out to many of the local orchards in our area, and most certainly in communities throughout the globe. If you don't have the space or time for a fruit tree or an orchard, by all means, visit one of these venues to taste and test some old favorites or some of the new varieties they have on hand. Farmers markets are another great place to pick up a tote of apples, and then you can make homemade applesauce that everyone will love. Many of these places serve up pies, tarts, caramel apples, my favorite, breads, ciders, and other yummy treats. Pick up a freshly made goodie and celebrate the deliciousness that apples offer. No other fruit seems to equal this versatile fruit. We love them. We hope you've enjoyed our salute to the apple today on In the Garden with Kelly and Char. And all this fall, we'll be looking at some of the things that we need to do in this time of year in our Zone 4B gardens. And if you're listening from other areas, we'd love to hear from you. If you have an apple tree that's doing especially well, or if you have a picture of something that you've grown, by all means, send us beautiful pictures of your harvest. You can reach us at inthegardenradiomn@gmail.com. Also, look for us on our Facebook page and listen to us on KDWA every Wednesday now through the weekend before Thanksgiving. Once again, In the Garden with Kelly and Char. Thanks for listening.
Bye, everyone.
Pulling weeds and picking stones, we are made of dreams and bones. I feel the need to grow my own, 'cause the time is close at hand.